Blog Talk Radio.
On air, and oh my goodness, does that song bring me back? I don't even want to say it. I'm going to pretend I don't know that song because then everybody will know how kind of old I am. But no, really, I'm a lot younger than that. But I love this song because we have two fabulous guests today, and I will tell you a little about them after I tell you about me because, you know, I'm Aries in the fourth house, I think, Ron, and that means it's all about me. So my name is Bonnie Albers. I am a medium, psychic, clairvoyant. I've got all the clairs, and I am a nurse, a legal nurse consultant, and I am a counselor. I specialize in love, romance, relationship, and sexual issues, and I am all about love. And I love every bit of metaphysics in every category, and I have a lot of guests that all bring to the table and to our show different specialties. You can reach me, and you'll hear about my guests and where to reach them, but you can reach me at BonnieAlbers/on/air.com. It is a new website. It's under construction. So I still have my old website, which is BonnieAlbers.com, and you can always reach me on my email. Please email me. If you don't hear back or you don't hear back from my personal assistant, Diana, then assume we didn't get it, but it's bealbers714@aol.com. And you can also reach me, and we'd like you to like us on Blog Talk, please, because that helps us promote our shows. And you can reach me again on Facebook, Bonnie Albers On Air, or Bonnie Mosenter Albers is my personal page. The Bonnie Albers On Air has all of our guests associated with it. You can leave us messages. You can talk to us and tell us what you like or what you want to hear. Now, today we have a great show. It's going to be the world-renowned astrologist, Ron Cole. He's a personal friend of mine. He shares my birthday, and I just adore him very much. And he's going to talk today a little about the year, what's going on with the winter solstice, what just happened with this full moon. And, of course, the questions just keep nagging me about our sun signs, our ascendant, and our moon signs. And then our next hour, we have our world-renowned Kelly Coulter, who reads Atlantean cards. It's the only thing I can call them, and she'll tell you what they're about and how they're about. She's so phenomenal. This is a talent that very few people have, and she rocks the house, just like Ron. So, again, our first hour is going to be astrology. Our second hour is going to be Kelly. So I'd like to start. Are you with me, Ron?
I am here. Hello, Bonnie and everyone.
Hey, Ron, can you please tell our guests who you are, how to get a hold of you, and what you do?
Well, I've been an astrologer now for 42 and a half years, and it's even hard for me to believe. I can be reached at my email, and the email is livingastro, LIVINGASTRO, at AOL.com.
Ron, I am so happy you told everybody about that. He has done my astrology readings. I don't know. I'm not going to say since I'm little because that would show both of our ages, but it's been a few years. And I think I'm due for an update too, sir. So I am sure I will be getting my update reading very shortly. Ron, you know, everybody asked me, and I just still can't get a grip on this. If you're not going to use your sun sign all the time, because that's not just what you're about, when you go to read, like, you know, these, I know they're just, you know, very, very low-key readings, but when people see their signs in a paper, in a newspaper, or they have their favorite, you know, astrological, you know, website up, how would you go about getting the perfect reading? Do you read both the sun sign, your ascending and your moon, or how does that work?
Well, actually, Bonnie, you have to encompass all of those plus all of the planets. The biggest problem in the consciousness of people of the world today is that they are born under Leo, born under Capricorn. And that's all they think about in astrology is just that one sign. And actually, that is only one thing in the personal birth chart. That is the position of the sun. And the sun conveniently moves into a new sign of the zodiac on or about the 21st of each month, plus or minus a day sometimes. And then it stays quite conveniently for 1 month in that sign. And because of that, this consciousness of sun sign fixtures, let's say, in astrology has melded into the whole world's awareness, and that's all they think it is. Unfortunately, we need to break those rules because we need to tell, or should I say fortunately, we need to break the rules and tell people that the chart is not just the sun sign. It is based on the moment a person takes their first breath, and you need to have their location of birth, their month, day, and year of birth, and very importantly, the clock time of birth, down to the minute. you must set up a chart for that exact pattern from that location on the Earth's surface of where all the planets were in what parts of the sky, and that's the personal natal chart. And included in it is where the moon sign is and the ascending sign. And the ascending sign, very easily, is the point coming over the eastern horizon at the time of the person's first breath. That's the point in which where the eastern sky and the eastern Earth meet. And since the Earth is always turning, if you take that point where the sky and Earth meet and extend it out to space, it will always be facing or pointing to some sign of the zodiac. And whatever that sign is that's coming up over the eastern edge of the Earth in that birth city, that's the ascendant. Now, how they differ is the ascendant is what you look like. It's your physical appearance. It's the way people see you. So two parents, same mother, father, same genetic contribution, could sometimes have a child that's very tall, could have another child that's shorter, can have a child with red hair, another one with dark hair. And all of this is determined by what was rising or coming up over the eastern edge of the Earth at the time of birth. So the ascendant affects the physical body that the soul is inhabiting. And the sun defines power, your will, your ability to manage, your ability to handle power in any of its levels of responsibility. And the moon defines emotions and your capacity of emotionality. Plus all of the other planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, etc., all have their personal meanings in the chart based on where they are and what sign they're in.
I love that, Ron. But I got to tell you something. I want to switch my sun and my moon. Can I do that? Because I'm going to
tell
you. Well,
unfortunately, your soul needed to have the exact pattern that you were born with. And this is another thing. People will say to me, how could I have this kind of a chart? Something must be wrong. And I'll say to them, and this isn't always the case, but once in a while I'll hear that. I'll say to them, well, this is the pattern that your soul is needing to work with in this lifetime, and there's no mistakes. There's no coincidences. You were born at the time that the pattern of the planetary arrangements were situated at so that you will have that energy to deal with from this life, from first breath to last breath.
I love that because you know what? I think I keep saying I have eight planets, and since you're my astrologist, I keep saying I have eight planets, but I think I only have five or six. But I could tell you that I have all of them in the house of Leo. And I
yes,
got
you do.
Everything.
I remember something like that. Five planets, I think.
Yeah. So really, I mean, think about it. My little thing was trying to come up as I was going to Cancer, and it really wanted to be Leo. But the thing is, my moon isn't a Leo either, so I guess I'm kind of, you know, just talking out of my hat here. But I just love astrology. I can't tell you how I live and breathe to know more about it, which is why I love when you're on and when I talk to you. And I know that, and I'm probably skipping around here, that is, you know, if they are reading, do you suggest, now what I'm going to say is everybody throw out your magazines, because really the sun sign really doesn't describe you always. But would you suggest, Ron, if everybody does like reading their horoscope, and then I'll move on to the next subject, that they read all three?
I actually suggest what you said a moment ago, throw out your magazines and disregard reading any columns on sun sign predictions, because if you stop and think about this, if the sun is only one thing in the chart, and there's actually 11 things, the point coming over the eastern horizon, the rising sign or ascendant, that's number one, the moon, number two, and then all the other planets, eight planets plus the sun, well, we have to deal with all of that as a comprehensive whole. And if you just pick the sun and take that one little point from your chart and your life pattern and read it, you're doing yourself a ridiculous disservice. It's like trying to take a person's temperature and determining a whole health diagnosis based on the temperature. You don't have enough with the sun sign. And so that's become, unfortunately, a fixture in people's consciousness. And it's sad that the vast majority of people do not realize but that they have, and all people have, a complete working chart, not just sun signs.
Well, then I suggest they call my favorite astrologer, and there's plenty of them that you can, I'm sure if you're not in the town, Ron does Skype and I don't know that he does Skype, but I know he does email readings and things, and it would be nice to find out what you are. I just don't know how you keep up with it because you can't have a progressed chart every day. So, Ron gives you a working chart, which is what I love, and it takes you into a few years, if I'm right, Ron, because I remember, I think mine took me into, every year we have an update, but my chart was pretty complete for that year. That's why I have updates. But what I wanted to ask you also is, this full moon, oh my goodness, it has affected a lot of people. Can you tell us what's going on in the month of December, astrology-wise?
Well, we just are coming out of the Gemini full moon, and how we determine where the full moon is. You look at the sun. Now we're back to sun signs, but this one point does work. Whatever sign the sun is in, when we have a full moon, it will be in the exact opposite sign of the zodiac. So the sun is in Sagittarius right now and will be for the next 2 to 3 days. And then the opposite of Sagittarius, 6 signs away, is Gemini. So anytime we have a full moon when the sun is in Sagittarius, we're going to have the Gemini full moon a year. And since the sun moves through all 12 signs of the year and we have 13 full moons a year, we'll probably have at least one case in which we'll have 2 full moons in the same signs, like a blue moon. But most of the time, you will be able to determine what sign the moon is in when it's full by noting what sign the sun is in. So, for example, next month, we're going to have the sun in Capricorn, and that will be the Cancer full moon because the sun is opposite the sign of Cancer then. And when it's full, they are on opposite sides of the zodiac. So we're coming out of a Gemini full moon, and that's the sign that deals with communication in any of its levels. It deals with decision-making. It deals with thinking and brain power. It deals with any form of communication, whether it's selling, teaching, lecturing, writing, etc. And it deals with the functionality of the conceptualness of the brain. So when the moon is in Gemini and it's full, that intensifies and concentrates the energy in that decision-making or conceptualization. So it can be a little intense for people because full moons are very powerful. They're not weak things in the zodiac. They are the point of greatest intensity of the lunar cycle.
Wow, I love that. And I've got to tell you, Ron, because we have Chris, my dear friend from Curious Times, one of the best blog talk shows. It's on every night from 10 to 12. Everybody, if you want to listen to a great show, if you're up, and I know, Ron, you stay up. She is a fabulous, called Curious Times, and Chris is on right now listening to us. And Chris, you would think with the Gemini moon that I would have been able to figure out the iPad, and you sent me a beautiful link that I still have to do, but for some reason Gemini has not given me the availability. It's only intensified my brain a certain amount, but it is not allowing me to do the computer stuff. So I hope that, is this full, because it's still full moon until the next full moon, isn't it? Or does it then go away?
Well, the moon's
and
in
we
Cancer
have...
by now, Bonnie. The moon's in Cancer from the last 2 days. Whenever we get past the full moon in Gemini, the next sign over is Cancer. So the moon is in our sign today because you and I share a birthday, and it
Yay.
Will be in there for about another day. And then it will move later on into Leo and beyond.
Well, what does that mean for us? What is the next full moon? Like, what should we expect next? If we had Gemini as the full moon, it was all the brainy stuff. What does the next full moon bring?
This is a very interesting full moon coming up in January because it is when the moon is in its own sign. Planets are associated with signs of the zodiac, and for the vast majority of them, they have one planet that each sign is connected with. And the sign of Cancer has always been traditionally connected to the moon. And some older writers in astrology used to call Cancerians moon children, which usually irritates a lot of Cancer people, but that's kind of fallen out of use now. Leo, for example, is ruled by the sun. Sagittarius, the sign that we're in with the sun sign now, is ruled by Jupiter. And as we go around, we're going to find that that's the case for the various signs of the zodiac, that they all have a planetary body associated with it. Well, the next full moon is going to be, I believe, January 16th, if my memory serves me right, and it will be in the sign of Cancer at 25 degrees. And so that's going to be a particularly powerful event for emotions, for families, for family ties, for nostalgia, for remembering the past, a lot of, gee, I remember when, a lot of looking at things we own and have and getting the sentimental reconnection with those things, kind of remembering when you first got them and why you're saving them. It's also dealing very much with one's own emotionality, whether there's problems in the emotionalness of the human being, whether the emotionality is low, high. It's going to be a time of dealing with that, where the Gemini full moon we just had was very much connected with the brain and the mind and the thinking and the communication empowerment.
Wow.
So they all have different meanings.
What is the winter solstice then? Does that connect with like the longest day of the year? How does that work? Because I know we just hit the winter solstice, right?
Yes, this is coming up, I believe, on Saturday. This is very interesting. Everyone listening, you'll think back to your schooling and remember when you were first shown the globe of the Earth, you saw the equator, and then we saw these curious things on the Earth called the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn. And you're just explained by that's the names of these things, and they go on, but they don't tell you the astrological meanings associated with that. The Tropic of Cancer is in the northern hemisphere, and the Tropic of Capricorn is below the equator in the southern hemisphere. And as
wow.
The Earth tilts more, we've been in the period since September around the 21st, when the sun was exactly lined up with the equator of the Earth. After that, the southern hemisphere has been slowly tilting more and more towards the sun, and the winter, the northern hemisphere has been tilted away from the sun. Well, when we reach the first day of winter, the sun is exactly lined up with the Tropic of Capricorn, and on that day, the sign of Capricorn starts. So it is the 21st of December. So on that period, the sun is the furthest south of the equator it ever gets, and it is lined up with that tropic. And then after that, the Earth starts tilting more and more, so the sun starts creeping each day slower and slower towards the equator. It reaches it on the beginning of the spring equinox, which is the 21st of March, give or take a day. And then the northern hemisphere has its option, let's say. The northern hemisphere starts tilting more and more and more and more towards the sun until we reach June 21st, and the sign of Cancer starts on that day, plus or minus a day. And at that point, the sun is exactly lined up with the Tropic of Cancer. So these names were given for astrological-based reasons. So it is true that even on the Earth's surface, we have an astrological nomenclature with the Tropic of Capricorn in the south and the Tropic of Cancer in the north.
Wow, that's so interesting, Ron, because it kind of like, it's like our seasons. So it's kind of the same thing.
Exactly.
It's, you know, yeah, so that's so interesting. And people say astrology went out the wayside, or astronomy took over astrology, but the truth of the matter is we started with astrology, and this is one example, because our seasons hit the solstices, which is so interesting, don't you think?
Yes, and this is exactly, astrology was actually the mother science to all of the other space sciences, whether you call it astronomy and others. Now, astronomers don't want to hear that, and they don't believe it. But when you go back in ancestral history, you will find there was astrology as the foundation. Why did people build things like Stonehenge as an observationary point and have aubrey holes going around the outside of Stonehenge that when you got to a large hole, there would be an eclipse on that particular time? They knew how to predict eclipses. Why did people build all of these very, very ancient and now prehistoric observationary areas? They weren't doing it just because of scientific knowledge. They were doing it for astrological knowledge, for sun and moon patterns, and for understanding that in its effect to life and crops and plants and fields. So astrology has always been here. We can't ever find its origin. Even in the most ancient archaeological digs, we are finding works of the zodiac. For example, in the temple of Dendera in Egypt, why, there are signs of the zodiac written on the wall with all the other ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. So this is not a new science. This is a science that has been purposely discredited because to the mind of today, it seems crazy. It seems illogical that planets and their patterns could have an energy and that that energy could affect us. But that's the big link that they've missed, the fact that there is an energy unique to each planet and that it has a vibration and a frequency and that it does have an energy on life.
Absolutely. I mean, you know what, Ron? I mean, and then I'd like to ask you another question, but just think about the tides. The moon affects the water. So how would people say that, you know, a moon is a planet, right? It's one of the planets. So if it has enough energy to pull the tides back and forth, just think of the energy that all planets have. And I'm just so happy that I think that the tide, quote, is turning around and that people are looking at metaphysics, astrology, and looking and saying, we have energy. We are energy. We're spirit. Spirit exists. And astrology started it all. That's how people even, like, they planted, they harvested all from astrology. And that was from the beginning of time, I think. Don't you think, Ron?
Well, yes, and even today, you can go out and buy a farmer's almanac or an almanac, and all of the different dates you set below ground crops this day, you set above ground fruiting or growing crops this day, you put fence posts down on this day. Well, that's all based on lunar cycles, and it's fish on this day, do not fish on this day, fish will not bite. It's all based on the cycles of the moon. And I want to briefly tell you one thing. This is not lengthy, but I want to explain an interesting thing that leads into an understanding of astrology. There was some research going on the reproductive cycles of oysters, but the research was in a laboratory just outside of Chicago, Illinois. And so oysters were gathered in Long Island Sound way over in the New York area and brought to this laboratory near Chicago to study their reproduction and life cycles. Well, oysters open and close their shells with the cycles of the tides. And sure enough, they were opening and closing their shells with where they had come into existence with the cycle of Long Island. But once they were brought to Chicago or that area, they suddenly snapped their shells shut and did not open. And the scientists thought, we've lost them. They've died. Perhaps the salinity of the tank wasn't good enough. And after about 2 days, they started to open and close their shells to the cycles of the tides that would be in Chicago if it were on the seacoast. In other words, tides of an ocean that wasn't there, they were responding to it as if it were there. And the scientists had to finally conclude that it was the effect of the moon. And the moon had an effect on these creatures, so that their cycles of opening and closing is not only the tides, but the lunar energy upon them. Now, if it could affect simple creatures like oysters, what about other creatures more complex like human beings? See?
That is so interesting, Ron. I am just, you know, I keep saying wow, and that's not a word I use a lot. And I, you know, when I do that, I think I said that the last time to you, maybe spirit's here, and I do know somebody's here with me, and I'm sure it's for you, so I'm not quite sure who it is, but did you have anybody that used to use the word wow all the time? Because Every time I get on the radio with you, I just want to go, wow, wow, wow. And I don't know what it is. I think it's in spirit. So I'd like you to go back and look at your ancestry and see if any of them you remember use the word wow or wrote the word wow, because it's just so strong when I'm talking to you, Ron, that it's just not something I use all the time. Do you recognize it?
I will have to think on that. I don't at the moment know of anyone, but that doesn't mean that they're not there. I'll have to think on that.
Yeah, because, you know, and I know that I've heard messages the whole time that you were talking, so I know it's somebody for you. But I just want to let you know we have Kelly on, and I'm going to bring Kelly on because I know, and I want to tell everybody out there that after the beginning of the new year, whoever is in chat, if you can, we're going to pick one person. We have up until New Year, we have who's going to be on. But if you put your name, well, you can use your, do they have to use their, well, you have to use your name or your chat name, where you were born, the time you were born, and anything else, Ron, that they need? And
the
date you were born.
Year of their birth. So
yeah,
we need their
birth date,
their accurate time, and it can't be just rounded off if they say, oh, I was born sometime in the afternoon. I can't do it because the ascendants are just flying by, and we will not have an exact chart if it's an estimated time. It has to be really known down to the minute.
Yeah, but whoever's in chat on the week that Ron's in, we're going to pick one of you, and if you know that information, the next week we're going to ask you to be on. So today, and I'm so excited, we have Kelly. And Kelly is, of course, our next co-host. And she was so excited to have Ron do some of her charts that we took Kelly because she knew everything. But this is what we're going to offer you after the first of the year. So please go into chat. Please call us up. Get all your information. You have a couple weeks to do that because Ron is sought after. He's fabulous. It's expensive to have a reading with Ron, and we're offering, or actually Ron's offering, to do a mini one if you have your information. I will pick one person in chat per week, and the following week we'll ask you to be on the radio with Ron. Again, today is going to be Kelly, and I am going to unmute Kelly. But before I do unmute Kelly, I do want to tell you that, Ron, the next week, because I'm so into planets and before we get into aspects and angles, could you go over what each house and who rules the house and planets? Can we do that? I don't know that
yes.
We have time to do it today, but that would be something I think everybody would want to hear.
Well, if I can do it in a matter of minutes or a moment or two if you want
okay.
me to.
Good. Okay.
The important thing is a complete reading is very, very involved. It's quite lengthy. It takes about 2 hours plus. So when we do these mini readings, that's just a thumbnail sketch, but we're at least doing it from the chart, the setup chart. Now, an astrology chart looks like a wheel, like a pie cut into 12 equal sections, which we call houses, and each one has a personality or character meaning. House 1 is the personality. House 2 is money, income, investments, finance. House 3 is communication, particularly thinking, decision-making, and mind power. House 4 deals with location, where you live, also real estate, transportation from one home to another, buying or selling property. 5 deals with children. That's the one that will define and look into and describe characters of children. House 6 deals with health and the health of the person, health conditions or health ailments. House 7 is a big one. That's dealing with relationships, and that's what a lot
Yay.
Of people want to know about. That's the house of marriage, dating, love, romance. House 8 deals with psychic ability and intuition. House 9 deals with traveling and level education, particularly universities and colleges. House 10 is a big one. That's the career, the work, the job, the business. House 11 deals with your connection to other people on the planet, your connection with fellow human beings, fellow humanity. It's also the house of personal friends and acquaintances. And house 12 is very interesting because it's the house of the subconscious. It's what a good reader like Jung or Freud would do to read into the subconscious of a person. But even more than that, it's the house of past lives. It deals with where the soul experienced previous incarnations before coming into this one in this present life, in this present chart. And that's
wow. I love that. And does each house, or is it each, well, maybe next week we can do, because I'm going to bring Kelly on, but how about each sun sign correlates with a planet. Am I correct?
Well, every sign of the zodiac has different planets associated with it. For example, we mentioned the moon is the ruler of Cancer. Leo mm-hmm. is associated with the sun. Let's go to Mars. Mars is associated with Aries. Jupiter with Sagittarius. Saturn with Capricorn. Uranus with the sign of Aquarius. Neptune with the sign of Pisces. Pluto, which is still a very valuable part of our solar system and an existing planet, is associated with Scorpio. Now, Mercury is associated with two signs, Gemini and Virgo, and Venus is associated with two signs, Libra and Taurus.
Wow. I just love, you know, it's just so interesting to me. If I could keep them straight, I guess that's why you're the astrologist and I'm the medium, clairvoyant psychic, because things just come into my head and you have to actually study all this. And not only do you study it, it takes years and years, doesn't it, Ron?
Oh, Bonnie, I can tell you right now, it may have been over 42 and a half years ago when I took my first class. I was the only student in that class that had never studied astrology before. All of these other students knew things like ephemerises and tables of houses, and I had no idea what these things were. And when we got a book called an ephemeris, which is a list of planetary positions, I opened it, and there were these columns of detailed numbers, columns after columns. I looked at this, and I said, how am I ever going to learn this? Well, I did. It just took time. It just took time. It took good education. I attended an astrology college. I went for 3 years, and it took dedication, and it worked.
I love that. Well, Ron, you're next. I shouldn't say victim, because actually your next person is so excited. What do you call them? The next person who is going to talk to you is Kelly. She's so excited. I can't wait to put her on the phone with you. She's been waiting for this, and let's say hello to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Kelly. Oh.
Unmute me. There we go. You had to unmute me.
Hi, Kelly.
I love it.
Thank you.
Hi, Bonnie.
Do you believe, Kelly, that I muted Ron and I didn't unmute you? So I had him backwards, guys. That's why I can't do astrology. But, Kelly, this is Ron. Ron, this is Kelly. Please meet and go tell her, Ron, all about herself.
Cool.
I am so going to listen to this again.
Yeah, very nice to meet you, Ron. Listen, man, that was really informative. I've never heard anybody break down the houses like that. It's like I do cards and it's like that is really concise. I'm going to absolutely go back in archives and listen to this and write this down, because that was cool.
Now, there's more things actually to each house, but I just gave the more overall or cursory information on each one. They're a little more detailed, but that's the basic pattern of the energy. Now, I have seen people use tarot cards or other forms of cards, and they did it in a large circle, spreading it around in 12 cards laid out in a circle, and that was called an astrological reading. And each, like the sixth card over on your kind of almost extreme right, would be the area of health. And I'm sure you do different readings than that, but I have seen it done in using card spreads and astrology as a combination pattern.
Wow, that sounds cool too. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that, but that sounds really cool.
Well, you have a very interesting chart, Kelly, and I thank you for giving me the information. Now, I don't reveal any birth dates, cities, locations on the air, of course, so
right.
People are terrified that he's going to say my birth date. Oh, my gosh, no. I set up the chart for you. I did that yesterday and have been studying it. And when you were born, the planet Mars was exactly coming over the eastern horizon. It was literally on the ascendant. In other words, Mars was coming from below the field of vision of the Earth into the sky overhead in your birth city at the moment that you were born. And interestingly enough, on the other horizon, the western horizon where things go below the Earth, the planet Jupiter was setting or going down on the western sky. It was disappearing over the edge of the Earth at the exact moment that you were born. So you have like a seesaw pattern, one coming up, one going down, and they were exact opposite signs of the zodiac. Mars is in Taurus, and Taurus is your ascending sign.
Okay.
And you were born with Mars in Taurus right on the eastern horizon. Jupiter was in Scorpio, and that was a sign going down over the western horizon. Now, that point will affect partners, marriages, dating, romance. But where Mars is, that will affect you and your personality and yourself. Now, about 75 to 80% of the people that have Mars in the area like where you have it will have a birthmark, mole, scar, freckle, or something on their face, chin, neck, or shoulders. Because the word marring or mar comes from Mars, the planet, and Mars is the ruler of the face and the head. And as a result, it will often produce that type of a situation on the physical body. Now, this is the planet of energy. Think of Mars as the, instead of the Energizer Bunny, as the Energizer planet. And having it on the first house, this gives you a lot of get up and go and spiritedness. Don't say die and keep on going and motivation and energy and power and willpower, because it's in the sign of willpower, Taurus. Now, what about this Jupiter?
You're very, very, very on there.
Well, Jupiter's on the area of your partner or dating or romance or love or how you link up with others in affairs of the heart. Now, that's the area that everyone thinks is the house of marriage. Well, it is, but it isn't just marriage. It also deals with romance and dating and meeting someone and engagements and anything in the romantic field. And Jupiter is there, and that's a very good sign because that indicates that you could marry someone that could be from another area of the earth, meaning another country, and I don't mean extraterrestrial, I mean another part of the world, and that you could marry someone who could speak more than one language, and you could marry someone that could be very tall or very heavy, have a big body, and you could marry someone that either can make money or be from a moneyed family or have an ability for a certain amount of financial wisdom. Now, your Jupiter is at the last degree of Scorpio, 29 degrees. Now, there's 30 degrees in each sign. Now, that's created by human beings as an artificial measuring, like we have 30 days in November, and we created the month of November and gave it 30 even days. In astrology, we take each sign and divide it into 30 even segments so we know what part of the sign we're dealing with. But we don't go from 1 to 30 like we do in a month. We go from 0 to 29. So 0 degrees is the first degree of a zodiacal sign, and 29 is the last degree. And when a planet is at 29 degrees, astrologers pick their attention right to that planet because that means something.
Uh-huh.
That is a karmic degree. That was researched heavily by the Arabic people during the Middle Ages, and they even gave it a name. They called it an anaretic degree. And what that 29th anaretic degree means is completing, ending, finishing off. It is a degree karmically of ending a cycle or finishing something off. And when you've got it on a planet right on your marriage house, that means a partner, a dating person, a loved one in this life will be the culminating lifetime between the two of you after many lifetimes of being together. Not always in relationships. You could have been parent and child. You could have been siblings. You could have been friends. But you will marry souls that are not new to you and that you're at the end of a completing cycle between what your interaction with them and their interaction with you will be. So it is very interesting to notice 29 degrees because they indicate that this is the last lifetime, or at least unless there's some type of karma that's created that links you back together again, this is the lifetime of finality. And kind of like New Year's, where the old new year goes out and the new years come in. This is more like the old year going out, but it isn't sad. It is a lifetime of completing. Now, you were born with a double Aquarius. You were born with the sun and moon in Aquarius. You were born on the new moon when the sun and moon were together in the same sign. And not only that, Kelly, they were way up near the top of your chart, way up in the area of your career house. Now, that's very powerful because the sun and moon are very powerful energies. They create eclipses, full moon eclipses or new moon eclipses, solar or lunar. But you were born on the time of a new moon, and you were born in the sign of the new age, the age of Aquarius. And I have been told by meditation that I'm supposed to look at if people have, and this is what I was told in meditation from a spirit energy to me, that I'm supposed to look and see whatever planets people have in the sign of Aquarius, because this is every incarnate in the world first lifetime in the age of Aquarius. It just recently started. And so any planets in Aquarius means that this is their energy linking up with this first incarnating life. Now, the age will go on another 2,100 years, give or take a few years, but this is our first incarnating in it. And you come into this first incarnation, Kelly, by having the sun and moon sitting together in new moon form and Mercury. Now, you were actually born on the Chinese New Year. The year you were born, that would be in the Chinese New Year because they always have their New Year whenever the new moon occurs in Aquarius. But beyond that, it means that you've come into this lifetime to take the power, the sun, the energy and empowerment of the sun from past lives and this life, and the spiritual, mystical, intuitive, emotional, and feminine vibrationary energy of the moon and combine them together for career, work, and business purposes because they're sitting in your house of job and work. Now, even more interesting, people sometimes when they do prayers or you'll hear this in meditations, they'll say, Father, Mother, God. They'll talk about the masculine power of creation and the feminine power of creation, which is equal in strength and empowerment. Well, in astrology, the sun deals with the masculine power of creation, the, so to speak, Father God energy, and the moon deals with the feminine power of creation, equal to the masculine and the goddess energy. And so you were born when the sun and moon, the god goddess, male, female, were linked together, unified together in the same sign, in the sign of the new age. So this means you came into this new age with a wallop. You came into this new age of Aquarius with the first lifetime in it in a very powerful and a very opportunistic way, and in a good opportunistic way, a way in which you can create situations and opportunities to help others' people's awarenesses line up and link up. Aquarius is the sign of fellow human beings in the world. It's the sign of relating to all fellow incarnates and all fellow beings, whether they are in a country on the other side of the earth, an island in the Pacific, or a country right next to where we are born, or our own country. This is the sign of linking up with others in the humanity field. And that's why it's got a humanitarian quality to it. It's interested in helping to uplift people, uplift the energies, and uplift the vibrations of things, because Aquarius is also connected to frequency vibration. It rules things like electricity, radio waves, TV waves, anything that's wavelength measured or frequency vibrationary measured. Now, when you put that together, that means you've got great power, Kelly, in this lifetime to meditate, to focus in, to visualize, to pray, and use focused in prayer power to raise the vibrations of the world, raise the vibrations of the planet, raise the vibrations of countries or people on an individual basis, because you have power to create the visualization of energy frequency upliftment in those areas, or even for yourself. It doesn't mean that it has to be always others, because Aquarius sometimes gives, and then sometimes forgets that it also has needs its own way, too. But you are quite a harbinger of a progressive awareness. This is your mind and the way you work and the way you think in this lifetime is years ahead of which most people on this planet think, because you are born as a true, pure Aquarian vibration, having sun and moon in that sign, new moon. And that's what the human race is evolving to. And what you have great power is to help individuals understand their own abilities. People say to me, well, what does this Age of Aquarius really mean? And I say, it's the individual becoming their own master. And people misunderstand that sometimes. They think I'm saying that in flying in the face of God, and I don't mean it in flying in the face of God or putting down God. But when I say Aquarius is the individual evolving to understand their own empowerment and to become their own master, it means to understand talents and abilities that are in ourselves that we are not aware of at first till we become aware of them, and then to develop them, or to have talents even as small as playing a piano. Aquarius is good at that. They can look at someone else and they'll say, I sense that you would be really good as a pianist and do very well playing a piano, and that person may never have thought of that, but when they began to study, they become very brilliant in that field. And the reason why is Aquarius sees into other people and sees what abilities or talents are in that soul, are in that person. And it also is very concerned in a positive way with uplifting the frequency vibrations of everything, including helping people to uplift and become their own power and master in this life. In other words, becoming not a victim, but becoming aware and knowledge becoming the key to catalytic power. So this is a lot of what Aquarius represents, and that's why its symbol is a human figure. You notice there are only three signs of the zodiac that have human figures: Virgo, the maiden of the harvest; Gemini, the twins; Sagittarius doesn't count because it's half horse and half man. It's not a full human figure. And Aquarius, the water bearer. But what the water bearer represents is not emotions. It represents mind power and the brain wave frequency. That's why its symbol looks like ripples of water, but it's actually brain waves. And the symbol of Aquarius is a human being pouring water from a jug either onto the earth or half the earth and half into a river. And that means knowledge and uplifting energy coming forth from that jug, falling onto the earth, affecting all the inhabitants of the earth, and falling halfway into the water, affecting all sea life and creatures in the water. So this is the sign whose ability to raise the consciousness of the world individually or in mass. And that's why the whole energy has changed just in the last maybe 50 years, since the early 60s. Things seem to be moving faster. Time seems to be moving faster. Inventions are hitting us right and left, and they come in and they become outmoded very quickly, and a new level or addition comes in. This energy shift is all ruled by Aquarius, and even things in our life are ruled by Aquarius: automobiles, computers, cell phones, things in our kitchen such as appliances, televisions. All of these things are ruled by the sign of Aquarius, and they've become part of the human being's life only in the 100 years plus as we've gotten into this age of Aquarius. And it's the sign of breakthroughs and inventions. So let's boil this down in a mundane way. You have the ability to one-on-one hone into people to make them aware of talents or abilities that they may not be consciously aware of but really exist for them, and to help them become their own master by helping them on the road, the step path to acquire those empowerments. And you also have the ability to raise vibrations to people that don't even know who you are or that you even exist by focusing in through meditations, prayers, and mind power to other parts of the planet and other parts of the world. And Aquarius is a very peaceful sign. Its idea is resolve things with dialogue, not aggression. And so it's very much the sign that is good in working with places where war and conflict is going on, where Mother Nature or the planet Earth is being scarred by bombs and landmines and things. It's very much a sign that is very connected with raising the vibration of the frequency of that land to heal and be healed from the war, and even to heal the people who are in the midst of conflicts because it's a sign that creates harmony and balance through understanding. Have I gone too far?
I'm sitting here listening. I'm taking a few notes, but I am absolutely going back in archives. I mean, you have hit this so on. You have no idea. This is just so
wow.
Amazing.
You know what?
Aquarius,
you know,
rules
I hate
the calves
to
of the legs. Aquarius
go ahead.
Rules
I'm
the
so
calves
sorry.
Of the legs and the colored part of the eye, the iris of the eye, and most Aquarian people have strikingly beautiful eyes. Many of them could have bright blue eyes or deep blue eyes, but even if they're not blue, they can be rich brown. They have a vibration about their eyes and eye energy that other people just become, there's that word, wow. You could say wow when you see them. The other thing is it rules the legs and the ankles, and that means the energy which we base our foundation upon, the energy that we stand on or stand upon, our philosophies, our belief systems, our connection. And that's why it rules those areas of the body. However, Aquarius makes really good runners, fast walkers, dancers, but when they get older, it's often that those areas, like their legs, their knees, their ankles, can sometimes give them problems. And why? Well, it's because if an Aquarius doesn't use its energy for positive frequency vibrationary upliftment or to help fellow human beings, it could sometimes develop issues with its legs and ankles. And if it doesn't use its eyes to see the future or see the inside of that which is coming up because it's the most futuristic orientated sign of the zodiac, it sometimes could develop cataracts or glaucoma or eye problems. Now, for Aquarians listening, I'm not saying you're going to get that. I'm just saying that that sign is sensitive to those things developing if the sign of Aquarius does not use its talents to the full extreme that it's supposed to.
I love that. You know, Ron, this just leads me. I know I'm just in so in awe. I think that's the longest I have not talked. I don't know if anybody out there is listening, but my goodness, I think it is the longest I have kept my mouth quiet. So you're going to hear me talk because I could have gone yes, 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 everything you had said about Kelly. But I do want to tell you some fascinating things before we have to move on because we are in 3 minutes going to our next show. But you know what, Ron? You know, here I'm telling you. Well, yeah, you're gonna be doing him, but well, that's a bad way to say it. But anyway, what I do want to tell you is, you know, maybe we should start each month off, Ron, by talking about the characteristics. Like January is coming up, and isn't January Capricorn?
Well, there is one thing that can be done as long as people don't get bogged down in sun sign only astrology. The sun is powerful, and it is a very important part in the chart. It's only one part, but it is important. And we can say for sure that for 3 weeks out of each month, the sun is in that particular sign. So January, it would be Capricorn.
Right, and maybe like the characteristics, not like what you should read on your sun sign, but just like who rules it and the characteristics. Maybe we could start each time one of our months change, we could start with that. Because like, this is so fascinating about Aquarius. I'm just getting in chat that two other people are Aquariuses. So even though it's Kelly's reading, some of the stuff you're saying about Aquarius relates to Aquariuses. So I think we could probably try that. But I've got to tell you, I think Kelly's husband, and he isn't, you know, your husband is in spirit. Her husband is in spirit right now. But he was real tall, wasn't he, Kelly?
Yeah, he was almost 6'3". He was a Sagittarius. He was like, I'm not going to say a bodybuilder, but he threw the 16-pound hammer like on the University of Wyoming track team. It's like, yeah, he was he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, didn't
Ron
say that usually...
Yeah. That's your planet there.
Yeah. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. I'm sorry.
I just said Jupiter rules the sign of Sagittarius, and that's what you've got on your house of marriage, Jupiter, the ruler of that sign.
Right.
Isn't that,
yeah,
that is so incredible?
I thought it was really cool.
I know. Do you see, and I'm going to ask for Kelly, and then I'm going to, then I want to, then I've got to say something. We'll switch over to the different shows. But Can I ask a question? In her seventh house. Now, if she doesn't want to know that, she can just say it. But I know.
I want to know. I want to know what in the heck I'm doing here.
I think he told you real loud and clear. And by the way, you were told you were Einstein reincarnate by one of the other readers. So it kind of sounds like you're brainy like that. But Ron, do you see anything in her seventh house that would say that she was going to marry again or have multiple partners?
Well, first of all, Jupiter is the ruler of Sagittarius, and that's called double sign. Why? Because it rules an image that's half horse, half man, two diverse creatures put together, so it's called the double sign. Another double sign is Gemini, the twins, or Pisces, the two fish. And when you get the planet that rules those signs, or those signs by themselves on the partnership house, there seems to be a strong likelihood of multiple marriages, more than one marriage. And so that's certainly the case with Jupiter there. And the fact that it's in Scorpio is the sign of passing and of leaving the physical world. So to say that your husband is in spirit, I should have noted that sign of Scorpio there means outliving at least a marriage partner.
I think that's so fascinating. And you know, Kelly, you know where to find Ron. And Ron, you'll know where to find Kelly because you're switching readings today. So I would like to tell you, Ron, I love you to death. You're going to stay on. We ask you to stay on, and I am just going to tell everyone, and both my co-hosts are going to stay on, and we're going to take one caller in between just to say hello. But, again, this is Bonnie Albers on air. We are now on with Kelly Coulter. She will tell you how to get a hold of her, what she does, because it's so fascinating. I have two fascinating co-hosts on Wednesday. And I am not going to tell you about myself anymore. So, Chris, you don't have to hear about me and where to get a hold of me. I know I've done that at the beginning of the show. But what I do want to say, and I hope everybody hears me, because I love my show and I love my co-hosts, but I also like and love other light workers. We have so many light workers out here that are fabulous and curious times. Again, Chris is online. She has a show called Curious Times, 10 to 12 o'clock every night. And I'm saying this, Ron, because I know you stay up, and it's on Blog Talk. And she has all different guests. And I have been a guest on her show several times, of which I've loved. So my shout out to Chris. I love you, Chris, even though you won't hear it. I love you, love you. And I hope that you're enjoying the show, and I hope everybody tunes in to Chris at 10 to 12. She's a fascinating lady, and it's a fascinating show. So I'm not even going to play the song, Aquarius, and I was going to play it in between, but since both of you have that song, we can move right into the next reading. Kelly, I want you to tell everybody how to find you and what you do.
Okay. First, I'm going to ask one real quick question. I would like to get Ron's email, get his info again, because I think I missed that at the very first. It's like, what is his email again?
Kelly, my email is livingastro, livingastro, at AOL.com. I'm still on AOL.
All right.
So am I.
Let's see. And I'm going to say the best place probably to get a hold of me, because I have multiple emails, for show purposes, is slc.on.btr@gmail.com. That stands for Spiritual Learning Channel on Blog Talk Radio. So that is my email. The actual best place is really and truly, I'm a phone person. I really am. 719-289-4907. Call me and leave a message. Leave your name, leave your number, clearly spoken. It's an old phone, so don't talk too fast for it, because otherwise it misses, it skips beats, and I go, okay, let's say I got half their name and part of their phone number, and I'm not psychic enough to get the rest of it. So,
Oh, yes, you are.
Yeah. Don't you go there.
Kelly, tell everybody what you do, because I can't even explain it, and I know that everybody wants to know what you do, and I've got callers lined up to talk to you again. So, and we've got Ron, who I am excited to hear about. So please tell Ron, because he's not sure either, what those cards mean, because you explained it last week about the 52 and then the suits. Can you go through that again? Because a lot of people are new to listening to you from here. So can you go through that?
You bet. In a nutshell, these cards were specifically designed for our planet. It's on our planetary basis of 365 and a fourth days, the fact that we have 52 weeks in a year, the fact that we have 7 days in a week. And it was actually developed by the Atlantean people, of which I have reason to suspect that I was actually on that team that helped develop them, which is why I resonate with these cards in this lifetime. But they're very phenomenal in terms of I'll just say mathematical. It's just a high, you know, mathematical probability, and everything that is with it is very, very number oriented. They have charts that literally go for every card, and they're laid out from birth to 100. So it's really got, and then they allow for the at year 45 you have what's called, you know, the mundane world calls the midlife crisis, and that's because your cards start over again. You have the exact same birth card at age 45 that you did when you first stepped in on the planet. So when you get to 45, you know, usually there's a big transition, and actually there's you know, years preceding that, you know, pinnacle years, things that lead up to it, like starting with age 42, 43. 44 is called your pre-birth year. 45 is called your rebirth year, because you've had 45 years, you know, to be on this planet and to learn things. And it's kind of like taking your cards and stepping up an octave. And it's like you step up for the next, you know, 45 years, and you really plan how your life is going to be and go, yeah, that's pretty good. There's other, you know, particular years and stuff for people. 52 seems to be a really big one. 52 is a year when people really decide, am I going to truly live on this planet, or am I just going to be in the rowboat and the dinghy and, you know, float along with the river and not really paddle and do very much. So people can really be fully engaged in the 52nd year, or they can just kind of go, yeah, I'm just putting on my life preserver and I'm just kind of floating along the boat. So, but there's, you know, a lot of other markers, a lot of other things that happen within the years and times, and it is what I will say is the first time we really saw it come to light was actually in the Bible, because the three kings, the three wise men, the three astrologers from the East, they were of the order of the Magi. And that's what these cards are also called. It has the Ace of Spades as its, transformer, as its kind of like calling card. And the Ace of Spades, although it's called the Death card, is also really the card of transformation. And it represents like the phoenix that dies and then rises again and sown ashes. There's also, derailed, man. I don't know what that one was. Somebody came in and bumped me off track. Anyway, but there's, you know, there's just a lot of things that go, whoops, and that would beep. A lot of things that go, you know, with that, and like I say, it's just a lot of mathematical probability. Yeah, that's where we're going. But anyway, so 2,000 years ago, this is what the three magi used to find the Christ child. And then brought forward, it kind of went underground in the Middle Ages. It came out, only Richmond wrote some books on it in the 1800s. And then who brought it forward and kind of like out of hiding dusted it off is a man by the name of Robert Lee Camp, who actually moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. And I've only talked with him a couple times, but they have, you know, he's got a pretty amazing way of doing stuff. He himself is an astrologer. You know, they combine a lot of the different things. They combine the cards with with astrology. And like I said, I'm not that familiar with astrology, except to know, yeah, this is my sun sign, this is my moon sign, this is, you know, I was born in the Chinese. I was actually born the last day. Let's see, was it the last day of the Chinese year of the dog? And I was like, okay, great. I'm glad I wasn't born the next day, because it was the day of the pig. So anyway.
Well, Kelly, that is so fascinating, girlfriend. Now, we're going to start with, unless you're going to explain more cards, I've got a full board here. Can you please start with Ron?
I absolutely will start with Ron. Okay, and what is your, Ron, all I need is just your day and month, and then just your current age for doing stuff for this year.
All right, day and month, I'm July 14.
14, okay.
And I'm 63 of age.
You were 63. Wow. All right. You're very young voiced. I would never have guessed that.
Hey,
40.
You just
wow.
Said, you just said wow twice, Kelly. Guess what? I'm telling you, there is someone here for you, Ron, that says wow. Okay, go ahead. I mean, you know.
All righty. July 14th, you're double aces. You are an ace of diamonds. And you also have an Ace of Hearts as your planetary ruler. And because I have this really bad tendency to forget about the planetary ruling card, I'm actually going to give that piece first, because I will go back and spend most of the time on your birth card. But the Ace of Hearts as a planetary ruler, and it's really to astrology, the Ace of Diamonds is your birth card. That is the thing that influences you the most, tells about what your life path, what your karma is supposed to be, what you're supposed to be working out this go around. But the planetary ruling card, being the Ace of Hearts, this is kind of how things manifest. It's kind of how, it's like the ascendant, whereas like okay, I'm Aquarius and my ascendant is Taurus. So your sun sign is an Ace of Diamonds, and your ascendant is an Ace of Hearts. So it's like a lot of times you come across as an Ace of Hearts type of person. It's a card that tells us you spend a lot of your time searching within yourself for the mysteries of life. You're somewhat of a loner, even though you value friendships a great deal. Ace of Hearts means a desire for love, and that's going to reflect itself in your life in a meaningful way, whether it means an eternal search for the right partner or whether you seek like the answers, to your own longings within yourself. Ace of Hearts is really closely tied to the Ace of Diamonds, which again, that is your birth card. So you probably have a good amount of ambition as well. Your career or work is probably an area that you give a high priority to. Essentially, you're a passionate person who is seeking to understand your own heart. So that's just how you come across. Okay, that's how you come across in your public face as an Ace of Hearts. It's the first card in the deck. It's called the Desire for Love card, because each of them have a name, and we're using a poker deck here in case you haven't figured that out. The desire for money, though, is also present, and again, that's because the Ace of Diamonds is also your karma card, in addition to, whatever. But it's being the first card in the deck. Wait a minute. Right, okay, that was okay. Let me goof that up, because that was your planetary ruler. There we go. The Desire for Love and Money card is what the Ace of Diamonds is called. There we go. And it can be expressed in a variety of ways, but it always seems difficult for you to have both money or career at the same time, because you feel like there's this, you have a juggling act. It's like I can have one or the other, but not both, okay? So that's one of the things you came here to work on. And part of that is because your nature is to focus all of yourself in one particular direction to the exclusion of everything else. You're very, very tunnel visioned in some cases. But that's really a prominent theme with Ace of Diamonds people. You can be, in your younger years, I'll put it this way, you can be impatient, selfish, mercenary, or flip side is you can give people the shirt off your back and go around shirtless, okay? You are a Jupiter-Neptune card in the life spread. Jupiter tends to expand the Neptunian ideals and characteristics to great extremes at times. You're really kind-hearted on one level, and you really go out of your way to help people less fortunate. You're kind to animals. You hate to see anybody suffer. The strong Neptune influence can really make you aspire to high ideals. And, a lot of the Ace of Diamonds, especially all in the Cancerians, make great contributions to a worthy cause. Sometimes you have a bit of this you see yourself as a savior of one kind or another, like saving your friends, saving your family, business associates, lovers, married partners, whatever. But Neptune can be an illusion, okay, that leads us on the path of deception or misplaced ideals. It just depends on your ability to discriminate. For example, it's like I love the extremes they give here. Paul Newman was an Ace of Diamonds who, did a lot for charities, did a lot for, positive things on the planet. And the flip side is Adolf Hitler was also an Ace of Diamonds. And ironically, yes, he thought he was doing a great thing for the world and, found a way to feel really good about the slaughter of millions of people, okay? So those two represent, the total opposite extremes of Neptune's idealism, okay? So there's a great diversity. It's a lot of place in the bell curve there, okay, of how really that dreamy, optimistic nature is expressed by Ace of Diamonds people, but it's always there. These people are very creative, capable of working two jobs at once. They meet new people every day. Much of their good fortune comes from those meetings. Ace of Diamonds people, you're ambitious. You have some artistic ability. Your work usually involves travel, which you really love to travel. Your life can be a series of phone calls, communications of all kinds, and a flurry of activity regardless of what they do. You believe you're here to help the world, make an important contribution in the process, and you tend to be just a bit psychic, and if you don't like that P word, you could always say intuitive, your ESP, your whatever you want to call it. Many are naturally attracted to the metaphysical side of life. If money or power does not take top priority in your life, you can have great satisfaction and accomplishment. So that's the only downside, is don't get too hung up on the material things, because in my world, God didn't create Adam and Eve a $20 bill. He gave him a garden. So, you know, remember.
I want the $20 bills, Cal. Okay?
Okay, $100,
whatever, I'm sorry.
You know. In relationships, main challenge in relationships with Ace of Diamonds and Love, whether it's whether you have to give up your career to have the love you want. A lot of times you might have distant relationships, you know, where you see your partner like every so often. It allows you to have ample time for your work, which is usually of primary importance. In other cases, you know, you and your partner can spend a lot of time traveling together. At least once in your life, somewhere along the line, the Ace of Diamonds is going to experience a lesson about the importance of having a partner with them, as opposed to being separated by, you know, distance by miles and miles, and, you know, there's a lesson coming there. Or you may have already had that one. There's a strong Neptune / Pisces element in the Ace of Diamonds life, which kind of spills over into personal relationships. Though you really set, or you see, you know, but like the highest your partner possibly can be and your natural kind of caretakers of them, sometimes the partner does not live up to their end of the bargain, so to speak, and the Ace of Diamonds person can become disappointed or angry. And really, you need to learn how to speak up about your own needs and how to see others for who they really are. You know, take off those Neptunian rose-colored glasses, because with communication, all things are possible. Many have said that Ace of Diamonds mentioned their money. See, and this makes me sad, because my eldest son is an Ace of Diamonds. He married, but it's like, you know, I'll talk to you about that another time. It's like, OMG. But just, you have a very restless nature. It seems better suited almost to love affairs than to long-term commitment. However, there's always this however flip side. If you come to terms with that restlessness, you can find the perfect partner who is going to travel with you, that can satisfy that same energy, you know, results in multiple, you know, partners, whatever. Interesting how there's just some side notes here on the Ace of Diamonds in your love life. It's interesting to note how often the Ace of Diamonds creates distance between yourself, because you've got this Five of Hearts in Venus. The Five of Hearts is sometimes called the divorce card, but it has a lot to do with why your love life turns out this way. All the fives have a real Sagittarian quality about them. Sagittarius loves freedom. It's a sign of the adventurer. Sagittarius is also the centaur. It's like, I like centaurs. Anyway, the person who loves travel and wants to see the world, yeah. Five of Hearts in Venus can be compared to having Venus in Sagittarius, Venus in the ninth house, or Venus aspected by the planet Jupiter, since it rules both the ninth house and Sagittarius. You find that a lot of Ace of Diamonds people have one of those astrological connections found in their natal chart. Anyway, the Ace of Diamonds persons almost always seem to have some element of travel or distance in their personal relationship. You know, you might fall in love with somebody who travels a lot or is frequently away from home. Other cases, you might be the one who does the traveling and your partners remain at home. But at the extremes, you can travel together or allow your partner the freedom to date other people. Like, yeah, that's too open-minded for me, but, you know, in all cases, there's some sort of distance. No, there's this really sad thing. Okay, breaking down this one. My son and his wife, ex-wife, got divorced, and it's like he's actually at this point in time, we came back from military stuff, he's living in their basement. She has a boyfriend. His ex has a boyfriend, and he is living with them and going, son, I never raised you to be this way, but, you know, he's a Gemini, he's a diamond. I'm not even going to go there right now anyway. But in all cases, there's some kind of distance between them and their closest relationship. Sometimes the distance is a good thing if both partners like it and accept it as part of their relationship, but in other cases, distance can be a real problem. Much of this, again, trace the karmic implications of having Venus in Sagittarius. And there's a side note here also, this Hilarion, H-I-L-A-R-I-O-N, tells us, it's in a book called Astrology Plus, tells us that those having Venus in Sagittarius are here to learn about the value of having their mates and lovers with them. That in their lifetime, there's going to be, you know, one or more relationships that are going to be at a distance. That distance creates that longing in them to have their partners with them. And that longing serves to balance out past life patterns of always being away from their partners. And it seems to be very true of a lot of Ace of Diamonds people. Eventually, they learn that it's important not only to have a partner in love, but also that this partner be with them physically, sexually, emotionally. And to learn that lesson, the Ace of Diamonds starts out by creating those long-distance relationships, but sooner or later changes their value system, because ace, you know, the diamonds people are the adults of the deck, and the deeper meaning of the diamonds, not just about, is because a lot of times we get lessons, diamonds people get lessons in their finances, but the deeper sense is about values. You're here to examine your values in life. Okay, that's kind of your karmic quest for this one. They you know, and you start out by creating that long distance relationship, but sooner or later, with that value system changing, it more balanced pattern, and you learn as you go through life and get a few years on you that it's like how important it really is to have that person with you. Okay, I'm going to look at really quick what I call the 0 to 100 moment here, and see what kind of things are coming up this year for Ron. It's like, and what's ironic is like you guys share the same birthday, but it's like obviously, you know, different year. So it's like, Bonnie, this is going to be for two when you get to be 63.
Yes, I'm listening, taking notes. So
you better remember it.
I'm remembering it, Ron.
Oh, goodness. She's with us. Okay. In the long range, the 63rd year is the Queen of Spades, which is about self-mastery. This is really a card of your learning to master yourself on some level this year. So it's kind of the focus for the year. And there's five cards that do tell us about a personal year. The Pluto and Result cards as a pair, they're red as a pair, is the Two of Clubs, which is sometimes called the debate card or the argumentative card of conversation. And this is just, you know, so the challenge this year for the Pluto card is not to let your love of debate and conversation get out of hand and become arguments that cause division between people. And what's really ironic is the resolution card or the result card for this is the Ace of Hearts, which is finding new love. So Ron, with this year as, you know, he's got Two of Clubs and Ace of Hearts, I'm going, okay, so wow, it's like, so don't let that love of debate get out of hand, and it's like you're going to find a new love here somewhere along the line. That's the answer to the question. In the environment this year, you've got a Jack of Clubs, and the Displacement card is the Queen of Diamonds. So there's a lot of Jacks are very creative, brings very creative energy in, and the Clubs are the scholars of the deck. So a lot of times this is about finding out things, learning new things, you know, as you go, because my mom was a school teacher, and, you know, her big motto was learn something new every day or it's a waste of day. So, you know, you never stop learning. You keep learning until the day you die. I think she took her own advice. The Displacement card, that Queen of Diamonds. Queen of Diamonds, again, that's the queens nurture everybody, too. It's like they, you know, they have a lot of chicks, you know, either with broken wings or otherwise that they take under their wings. But this is self-mastery also with finances, and it could also be, you know, helping people along. But just a caveat is don't get taken to the cleaners by the Jack, because a lot of times it can be with that Jack sitting there. You might, you know, run across people who are like, you know, oh, man, you know, really need some help, whatever. The thing that we remember is it's good to give people a hand up, not a hand out, because this goes back to the old Chinese thing of, you know, when you give a man a fish, you teach a man a fish, do you feed him for his lifetime? So we want to give hands ups, not hands outs, okay? And sometimes that gets hard to do.
That's a great great motto, boy.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, what's really funny here is I'm kind of looking at your guys' the yearly stuff here. Mercury, okay, I'm gonna go back through. I think July. I'm gonna read back through. And I'm just going to, you know, this is one of those, go back in archives and grab all this. Mercury time frame goes from your birth date until September 4th. Venus starts September 4th and goes to October 26th. Mars starts October 26th and goes to December 17th, which is the Jupiter time frame. Jupiter starts December 17th, which, that's coming up like, today's the 18th.
It's
that
today.
Was yesterday. Okay, so
yeah,
Jupiter.
Yesterday.
Jupiter started yesterday. Cool, okay. And that goes... that's your blessed time of the year, goes through February 8th. February 8th starts the Saturn time frame, and that goes through till April on April Fool. You get the Uranian time frame starting April 1st, and that goes to May 23rd when Neptune starts on May 23rd. And what so you have Jupiter starting, and what's really hilarious to me about this is my birth card, which is Five of Spades, showed up in the Jupiter time frame this year. So it's like he's got the Seven of Diamonds and the Five of Spades in his chart, and a lot of times it can represent people that we meet. So I find this really highly interesting that here Ron and I have met for today on the first time for air. And it's like there's my card right there going, yep, you're going to run across the Five of Spades in your life somewhere. So,
but wow, also, well he did.
I know. Yeah, I know. But the Fives also represent a lot of restless energy, and this year Ron has really got, he just came through the Mars time frame, which had a Seven of Hearts and Seven of Clubs, which is, those are all about, you know, have a little faith cards, okay, is what I call, you know, he's got the Seven of Hearts, you know, have a little faith, love comes to you. But it's also, he's got that Seven with the faith in the clubs, and then it carried through into Jupiter. He's got the Seven of Diamonds in Jupiter, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm sitting here thinking that a lot of Seven in the Jupiter like that can indicate if you got your head on straight. It's called, yeah, this card here, Seven of Diamonds, Financial Challenges, Learning Application of Things Valued, is called the Millionaire's card. It often indicates a great deal of money being spent, but also a lot of money coming in to cover it as well. So if you're feeling prosperous during this period, you can attract, if you are feeling prosperous during this period, you can attract huge amounts of money. Of course, this is, you know, does not occur if your prosperity thinking is only making masking an inner fear of poverty and limited resources, but chances are good for overcoming any fears about money and realizing this, you know, the lucky seven side of this card now. Can also mean a large financial investment in your business or occupation for the purposes of expansion. So that's where Ron's stuff is now. Ronnie, yours is different.
Okay, I was going to say, you know, that's not fair. I want that money. Ron, you need to give that card to me, okay? I need to be making that.
Well, it's 63, remember.
Okay, well, you know, I'll just have to wait. I'm just going to just cry. But go ahead, Kelly. So keep going. We've got a couple other people on the board here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, goodness. The fives that show up here, you've got to, this would be a great hand to play poker with for you this year. You've got three fives also. You've got five of spades in the Jupiter. You've got a five of diamonds in the Saturn. And you've got a five of clubs in your Neptune. And you've also got the five of clubs in your Uranian time frame. So you got four fives in a row. Five is a lot of restless energy. I know five of spades is called the wanderer. Five of diamonds and five of clubs, you know, so you're going to have a lot of restless energy, you know, either with health, you know, because a lot of times spades represents the old people of the deck, sorry about that. But it's, it's like, you know, old soul, whatever. But it also represents, you know, hard work, and they also can represent health issues. So I would just say, but, you know, the fact that you've got this five in the Jupiter time frame, I'm going to say if you have health issues come up, it's not going to be any big deal simply because this is your blessed time of year. You also, you know, fives also can indicate geographical relocation. So, you know,
you're not going.
There's the decision made there.
Yes, okay, go ahead.
Well, it could just mean he's, if he's not relocating from, you know, point A to point B on the map, it just could mean that, you know, he's going to rearrange his furniture every week for the next, you know, several months.
I think Ron decorates too for, I don't mean he decorates, but he changes his views for different holidays. So I thought that would be, make sense to me. But because he's not, because I think last year, Ron, we talked about moving, and because I was thinking about it and you were thinking about it, because you said I told you every 13 years I feel like I'm going to move, and you said you feel like that at every 7 or 8. So isn't that interesting? Yeah. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Kelly, because, again, we've got to get to another caller, but go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to hit on that really quick. Is like, you're absolutely right. That's another aspect of these cards, because they have what's called, you know, a life reading card, like for 20 years. But it's like there's long cycles in this card system that do go for 13 years. And you're absolutely right. Every 13 years, it changes, and you have a different pair of cards and a different pair of influences come up for the 13. let's see, I was going to look at this really quick and see if I can see where you're at. Okay, no, that's where in the hearts here. We want the diamonds. Okay, come on. Diamonds are doses for the heart. For the life path and the 13-year cycle ruling cards for you guys, and I say you guys because you're both Ace of, you know, Ace of Diamonds, and this will hold true for any Ace of Diamonds, no matter, you know, when you're born. Mercury time frame is from ages 0 to 12. The Queen of Diamonds ruled that time frame. In Venus, you went from ages 13 to 25. The Five of Hearts ruled that. In Mars, ages 26 to 38, the Three of Clubs ruled that one. Jupiter, ages 39 to 51, the Three of Spades ruled that one. Now we're getting to Saturn, and you both are in Saturn right now. Ages 52 to 64 is ruled by Saturn, and it's a Nine of Hearts. So it's like completion of some things in relationships. In the Uranian time frame, that goes ages 65 to 77. You got the Seven of Clubs, and then Neptune finishes out and goes ages 78 to 90, and that's the Five of Diamonds. But this, you know, the current 13-year cycle that actually you both are in, is that Nine of Hearts, and that does indicate completions of certain relationships, or things coming to a close, or one door closes and another door opens, things like that. But it's tying up the loose ends, and I'm like Ron. It's like one of these to do a full complete reading like this is a good solid hour. A lot of times more, just depending if you get into, the life readings and that kind of stuff. It's like, and I'm like him, it's like you can easily spend 2 hours talking to one person on this stuff. So it's like, yeah, it's phenomenal.
I love that.
Well,
I love that, Kelly.
Well, just give you some insight, man.
Well, now I can say, wow, this is my turn. I want to tell you, I've been taking notes. That's why I've been so silent. I've been writing as you've been talking. First of all, you really do have a very high knowledge of astrology through these cards. Everything you said about Neptune, about Jupiter, about Sagittarius, about the different planetary patterns has absolutely been right on astrologically. Secondly, your timing, even from the beginning, Uranus, which is your ruler, Kelly, being in a double Aquarius, that's the ruler of Aquarius, takes 84 years to go around the zodiac. So at age 42 to 43, it's sitting opposite itself, and that's what triggers the ability to either find oneself, or midlife crises, or the transformation from one way of being in the world to being in another, because that's a very quick harbinger for change. And at 51 to 52, which I was writing all this down, there's a planetoid that orbits midway between Saturn and Uranus, and it's called Chiron. And everybody gets a Chiron return when they're 52 to 51. It takes about that many years to move completely around the zodiac, and that's very interesting. I was writing all of this down as you were saying about the cycles and the timing. So to put it mildly, I'm very impressed.
I love that.
I want to get on this visit with you for a little bit, because I would like to seriously sit and exchange notes.
Well, listen,
I've never heard anything like Ron's reading this morning. It's like, wow, that's amazing.
Kelly?
Yours was amazing to me, too.
Yeah, he's a phone person. You're a phone person. So, the two of you, Ron, I'll give you Kelly's, because I don't want to, Kelly actually announced it on the radio, but if you send him an email, Kelly, I'm sure he'll forward you how to get a hold of him, because the two of you kind of cross over, which I really love, guys. And so since you're going to be on Wednesdays, this is so fascinating.
Cool.
Anyway, I do have to, Ron, I am going to give you a big hug and kiss. Mwah! And tell you that I will talk to you very soon. I'm going to see you Sunday with my daughter. So I have to take another caller. So I hope you're not too upset about that.
Oh no! But, in fact, I need to do some things right now. In fact, return some calls to set up appointments. So this will be perfect. So I thank you for having me on. You, Pani, for the show, and thank you also, Kelly, for all of the information you gave me. Like I said, I was writing everything down quickly as you were saying, and I've got most of it down.
Wow.
Well, the good news is
good to know that next year I'll get out of my Saturn cycle 64.
Well, listen, I have to tell you, archives, both of you, because it is always taped. This show is always taped in the archives. You can go back and listen to it on the archives. We love you, Ron. We'll talk to you next week. Love you.
Well, next week is Christmas.
Oh not quite. Let's see. Well, is it? 18,
no,
18,
I'm sorry.
18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18, 18
Christmas. And I'm going to have to tell everybody we are not. Kelly wanted to have the show, and Kelly and I will talk about it because we know there will be people that listen. But I think you be posted to whether the show will be on or not. I know Ron has Christmas, so he is probably telling you that he's not going to be here. But we love you, and we'll see you the next week. And the next week's New Year's Day. You do know that. So don't get too hung over.
Don't worry about that.
Okay,
I'm not even, I'm still under a Saturn cycle to 64, so that'll be good. So no hungover,
Oh, okay,
no.
Well, me too. Yeah, me too. So I will see you then, Ron, and we will talk about all amazing things. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ron, so much. That was an awesome reading. I really appreciate it.
I know. Kelly, we have just blown up the board, so I am going to go very quickly because we have had people that had to get off. But I am going to go to 9678. 9678, you are on. Hi, this is Bonnie and Kelly. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, we're so happy to get you on. It's kind of tough with both of these readings. Ron is an astrologist, as you know, and Kelly reads these, like, Atlantean cards. They take a while, but you get such a great reading from them. So
I know. That was amazing.
Yes,
well,
I know.
Do I give you my birth information?
Yeah, you just need to give me your month and your date and your current age.
Sure. It's March 2nd, and my current age is 44.
44. Oh, you're in your pre-birth year. Wow. You're walking around in the London fog this year.
It feels that way.
I bet it does.
Hey, does anybody have any love questions? No, I'm kidding.
No questions.
That's love. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you could throw in love there. That'll work for you.
I say, Bonnie, if you get some intuitive things, and if you have people like show for her, you know how that runs. It's like just go ahead and say, by the way, there's somebody on the other side who's got a message for her, so please break in.
I will. I had your husband here for a while, Kelly, but you know what he wanted, and I had Ron's mom, so I didn't want to bring them both in. So yes, you know I will break in, but go ahead, please, because we want to get a couple more people in. And so, can we ask your name? Because then I would love to call you by your name.
Sure. It's Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. Go ahead.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Kelly.
Sandra. Reading. Hi. We love you, and thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Kelly.
All righty. March 2nd, you're an Eight of Spades, which is one. You know, it's like the power card in the deck here. And you've also got a Nine of Hearts as your planetary ruling card. And I'm kind of gonna do what I do with Ron. It's like I'm gonna give you the planetary ruling card first, simply because a lot of times I get to go on and I forget to do that. But Nine of Hearts is how you come across to other people. It's how you're facing the world. It adds a compassionate element to your nature. It often inspires you to do, something good for the world. Others might call upon you to listen to their problems because you're a really good listener or counselor. However, you're also very stubborn and fixed. And other people can find that annoying at times. It's like, oh, well, everybody loves donkey, so. It's going to be noticed more in your own personal relationships. Don't try to save your partner. Okay, that's one area that your compassion and universal love do not produce good results. It also tells us that you might feel at times you've lost many loves in your life because nine is card of completion, and it's like here to tie up a lot of your romantic things or relationship things. Kind of put the bow tie on the package, so to speak. But however, you also have the ability to feel connected on a universal level that's really free of all personal concerns and problems, okay? So that's kind of the face that you give to the world. And on the flip side there, and your birth card tells us that like I said, it's power in work. It's the Eight of Eights. It's the power card of power cards. You've got the heaviest burden and obligation to use your power for good. All of you, can be tempted at times to take that power and use it to escape from fears, to avoid facing yourself from time to time. But really and truly, you're here to work, make a contribution, and ultimately, that's got to take priority over your romantic life, which is not necessarily a fun thing to hear. You guys are like, you're the workers, you're the workaholics of the deck. Your power is expressed through action, and the force of just like I'll say, an indomitable will. You got a lot of willpower, even as Pisces. And Pisces, you know, can be sometimes what I call their mutable sign. So it's like, you know, there's sometimes the wishy-washy, you know, kind of Charlie Brown thing. But it's when this shows up as Pisces, it's like you've got a lot of oomph, okay? It's just going to be natural that the ones with the greatest power at your disposal are going to be, you know, you might have be tempted, I'll put it that way, tempted to abuse it. But, you know, you've learned, I'm pretty sure, this lesson through your younger years already. But
oh,
just
yeah.
having the power, you're right, yeah. Because, you know, I said, you know, it's kind of like, you know, well, I've been given this, so I can use it in any way I choose. It's like, no. You know,
wait,
but,
can I just interrupt for 1 second? Sure. I know you're on a flow, and I promise not to do this anymore, but I want that power, and I want that power. Can you switch my card for hers? Because I love that. Okay, so go ahead. I'm
only
sorry.
Can,
go ahead. I'm trying to do it.
You can come in and have a different birthday, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
She's just finished.
I had to say it. Everybody's got it, and I'm waiting. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, golly.
The power thing over relationship really resonates with me.
I bet.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Although I'd like to have a nice relationship.
There we go. The caveat for you is just, you know, for all, you know, not just for you. I mean, yes, the eight of spades, but also all the eights. So anybody who's listening who's an eight, you suffer from the results of actions based on misconception. So it's like, you know, you guys have a quick karmic comeback if you misuse your power. Okay, just take it that way. Spades,
yeah.
The eight of spades puts you, I know, it's like whack, you know, the boomerang came back really quick, yeah. Spades take us into the spiritual realms, but most spade people cannot unrivet, you know, your attention from material gain, mastery, stuff like that. I mean, I've seen a lot of spade people. It's like can be very material. However, you know, and success is really like easy for you, you know, as long as you're willing to work for it, because that is, it's a spade. You know, think of the garden tool, not the rototiller. You don't get the rototiller. You get the hand spade. Okay, when you work for it, you can achieve a lot. And you know that you possess that power. Okay, the test comes in how you choose to use it. Because if you know, there's always, you know, two sides to the coin there. If you work from a sense of lower sense of values, you know, or if you operate from what's called the fear pattern, you can use that power to avoid the truth and you destroy yourself. So it's like, hopefully you're not there. You've gotten on the top side of the card. You know, you're using it in that positive way, and you're using it from the love side, not the fear side. Okay, you need to be admired, and you will work hard for admiration and respect. You make good providers. Ironically, so you might be like, you know, the Mr. Mom, okay, but you also often try to marry those people who are, you know, have some means to them, you know, have some finances in behind them. You're one of the few cards that always seems to come out on top financially when your marriages end. You can handle obstacles, which often serve as a measure of your true abilities, and you have a profound healing power that, if you direct it correctly, can transform the lives of those people that you meet. Part of your life challenge, here you go, involves developing a more positive attitude about life amid the changes that life is going to, sure to bring your way. It's like the famous quote is, you know, make a friend to change, because it's the only thing that's constant, okay? Study spiritual subjects always brings more healing and more personal freedom. In your relationships, the Eight of Spades is one of the more emotionally grounded cards in the deck. You usually do not have the indecision or restlessness that affects so many of the other cards in the deck, and it gives you a better than average chance of success in marriage or committed relationships. There's, you know, you usually have, it takes some time to mature into this. It takes some time for you to understand the workings of love, you know, as well as you do. You understand work better than you understand love. I'm thinking of this comedian.
Yeah.
Bill Ingvalls, you know, he says, if I worked at a job for 20 years, I would know that job inside out. You know, it's like, I've been married to my wife for 20 years, and I haven't got a clue, you know, and that's how, okay, relationships can be for you guys. It's just, you tend to take an intellectual or concept-based approach to love. You know, you think you can, like, here's my college schedule, and I'm going to just, you know, make my love life like my college schedule, okay? I'm just going to be bing, bing, bing. It's like, it doesn't always work that way. Really, romance and marriage, you know, you learn by trial and experience, experimentation. And your work is usually a major theme in your life. You also seem to have some love on your mind more often than others people would suspect because, you know, you seem so analytical, but it's like, you know, you do have a lot of, you know, that inner heart. It's like that nine is there going, the beating heart. You're attracted to those with whom you have great communication, and you respect those who are of higher intelligence. You often find a person you're looking for while on the job. Many of you form a working or financial partnership with your mate. Finances seem to be an important issue in your choice of mates. Your practical side tells you that being with someone who has more money is better because you don't have to worry about the electricity being shut off, and often you follow that, you know, choice in your life. But with so much power at your disposal, Eight of Spades usually find out that the same power can ruin the delicate balance that's required in a loving relationship, so you really have to be careful not to overanalyze your relationship. Just those who are aware of your own personal fears have more success in relationships. So, again, if you're, you know, become aware of that fear side and, you know, flip it over and go, okay, I'm not going to be in fear anymore. I'm going to come at to, you know, come at this from the loving side, and you definitely have the power to make that switch. Okay, was there anything in particular that you had a question on?
Well, I'm kind of switching over from a very I'm kind of switching over into a healing side of my personality at this time, and I want to kind of use that towards my work instead of the business world that I've always lived in. So it's new to me, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to make a living at it.
Ironically, I would say, you know, I don't know what other, you know, what kind of energetic patterns or things that you have checked out, but I'm a Reiki master teacher. I would just say, you know, whatever area of the country that you're in, find somebody who does Reiki, and I'll say research them a little bit, find somebody. And it's like what my experience has been is that people get Reiki. It's a hands-on experience. So you have a, you know, it's like not, it doesn't have to be a one-to-one teacher because I was in a class of 42, you know, but it does have to be kind of a personal experience. But anything like that, I'll say therapeutic touch. I learned therapeutic touch from a lady who was a nurse. You know, any kind of like body, you know, body frequency, that kind of stuff, because the Reiki does really work with, you know, the body energy, body frequencies. And there's a lot of other things out there. I'm also into ARCH, which is like ancient rainbow complete or conscious healing. And everything he's, you know, this is why I was sitting there listening to Ron just going, oh, my God, I'm blown away. This is, you know, it's a lot of frequency stuff. And if you really look at our bodies mathematically, Nikola Tesla, there we go, said that we resonate, I believe it's like 360 hertz or megahertz or something like that, but we on this planet resonate with a particular frequency. And science and doctors have shown that illnesses have a certain frequency or a certain, you know, like think of the sine wave, you know, patterning, and that illness or dis-ease also has a certain frequency and a certain pattern.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's learning to take that frequency and reattune people to the frequency of health. And, you know, it's just, I'm just going to encourage you totally in that direction and go, you know, there's so much. I mean, it's wide open. And it's like we're learning so much. It's like an explosive rate. It's like this would be probably a really, you know, I'll say a really good thing for you.
Thank you.
At age 44.
I love that.
And this particular year, your long range, you've got a jack of diamonds. So, you know, you're going to have some very creative ways of being financially prosperous. It's like the jacks are all about creativity. Diamonds are, you know, about your financial. So it's like, you know, this is, I'll say, just probably a really good year for this for you. And the fact that you do have...
Do you mean 2014 or 2013? When you say this
your
year.
Personal, I'm saying for you, it's your personal birth year. It's like it's from March to March, right. It's
okay.
Like, you know, when I want to talk about people's year, it's like, yeah, it has nothing to do with our January, February calendar year. It's like your birthday when you step into your, you know, and this year, like I said, you've got some kings in there where it's like, you've got two kings of the king of spades twice, which is about, you know, running your own ship. Okay, it's about being the captain of your own ship, and that really has positive things for you when you are in control and in your own business and you're running the business. So I would absolutely encourage you to, you know, whatever you're doing with that is, you know, make that leap. And it's like, go ahead and get into whatever, you know, kind of look through stuff, see what resonates with you, see what feels right, follow your intuition. Because like I say, this is the 44th year. You really feel like you've been in a London fog. It's a rebirth year, or, you know, you're pre-birth year, sorry about that, but 85, or golly, man, numbers here, 45 is going to really come through with a whole different moment for you, because you are like starting over. You're going to up your ante. It's like from what you've learned in the past 45 years, and you've got the Queen of Diamonds as your long range. So you are going to have self-mastery in your finances for the coming year of 45.
I need that absolutely. I wouldn't have it any other way, because I can't depend on anyone else.
Well, listen, okay. I want that card too. I think I'm listening to my reading, and you can have my reading. Because you
I
know
think
what?
You're right.
That's what I want.
I'll share it with you, Bonnie. I'll share it with you.
Oh, you're so sweet. You know what?
Well, listen, if I'm going to master something, I might as well share it with people.
Absolutely, because that's the only way the universe gives it to you. So I am so happy that you said it. You're such a great share. I'm not, but no, I'm kidding. I share everything with everybody. And I want everybody to enjoy their life, to enjoy, you know, whatever they want out of life and anything in metaphysical. And you know that because you hear me on the radio, any type of metaphysical experience, acknowledgement or job opportunity, I am so for, because that's what this world is going to be. Everybody's going to turn metaphysical very soon, because just look at it. The last 30 years, I mean, you can't even – everything has become so mainstream in the last five. So, honey, you are on the right track. If Kelly tells you she feels like that you should do some healing and some healing work with people, which is that Reiki and any of the vibration frequency healings, there's also a new healing with the brain where you put Kelly, do you know what it is? Where they put sound waves and it realigns, it shows you in your brain. That's a big field too, and that's so find something in the metaphysical world that helps heal, because I can hear it in your voice. You have an unbelievable energy, and you have a grounded energy. You have and doesn't she have an energy that people would want to listen to, follow, and understand? You want to listen to her. So I so suggest you do what Kelly says.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Oh, I so much appreciate that. I really do.
Well, we love you, and you know, and we're here. We're
call
here every
back.
Wednesday.
Go.
Oh, we don't want you to leave. We do not want you to leave. We want you to go and chat. We want you to like us. We want you to come to our shows. And the best thing for us would be, you know, for you to tell us what you're up to, what you're doing, and how much you progress. That makes us feel, it's like our children. It makes us feel like we've helped in some little way and that you've helped us. So please, please stay with us and let us know how you do. And have a fabulous holiday.
Thank you both. Have a wonderful holiday season and a great new year.
All right,
you too. We'll
your
talk
new year
to you
is
too.
Coming up and really good.
Bye. You know, Kelly, I do want to say, and we only have like 9 minutes, and you know, 9 minutes, I haven't talked. I could talk a whole 9 minutes, but I do want to tell everybody. I have some callers on the board, and I don't know that, you know, what I would like to ask the callers to do is if you go into chat and leave your name or the last four of your number, Kelly will pick you up first the next day that she has callers, or I will, whoever you want to talk to. So we're going to try doing this because sometimes we have so many callers we cannot get to, and this show is pretty long today. So I do want to tell you that if you can go in the chat and leave any type that you were here and that you did not get on, I have three that I would like to. The last two is 4 and 9678. We will get to you first, whatever show you want. But I do want to tell you about our shows. So, Kelly, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to tell them about our up-and-coming shows. Tonight is...
Facebook is another connection that people can use. Yeah, leave some messages on Facebook there, you know.
Yeah, please. Any way that I... Because, see, I've told them in the beginning how to get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me at Bonnie Albers on Air. Facebook, Bonnie Albers on Air. You can get a hold of me on my personal Facebook, Bonnie Mozenter, Mozenter Albers. And also you can get a hold of me, Bonnie Albers, -on-air. I do have a contact button you can try using. It's supposed to be up. Diana, my personal assistant, she's put it up for me. And also my email. BAlbers714@AOL.com. Any way you can get a hold of us, we're here. I have a show this evening at 9:30 with Susan Z. Rich. We're going to talk more about this whole month. We're going to talk about your Akashic records. She's fabulous. I hope you think I'm fabulous. Love, romance, relationship, and all kinds of sexual issues, guys. And we have Kelly coming back Wednesdays. She is fabulous. She's an excellent, excellent Atlantean card reader. She also is intuitive. So when you talk to Kelly, she'll give you all kinds of information. She's next Wednesday. Again, we don't know if we're going to have the show. Kelly and I still have to talk about that. We know Ron's not coming, but everything will continue if we're not there Wednesday, the following Wednesday. Next Tuesday is Susan and I, Bonnie Albers on air with Susan Z. Rich. Again, we're going to start with Akashic Records. We're going to spend about a month on it because by popular demand, we couldn't get to everybody, and everybody's interested in Akashic Records. Both Susan and I do them, and she's the expert in them. And we have so many great shows to offer you. And if there's anything you want us to talk about and you just want to banter back and forth, please let us know. Write us, like us on Blog Talk. You can always leave a message. And just to let you know, we love you. We appreciate you. If without our listeners and callers, we wouldn't be here. And I just thank everyone for even coming, and especially in the holiday seasons. And Kelly, thank you so much. You're a fabulous co-host. That you would come and talk to people and give your time and talk to everybody, especially in the holiday seasons. I know you have kids. I know you're getting ready to move, and I know you want to pass this great news to everybody, because I think Ron said you were going to be here to enlighten us, to help people. I mean, if that wasn't you, Kelly, I don't know who he was talking about, because you are so enlightening. You enlighten everybody you talk to. And you care about everybody. And please tell our audience also and our listeners and callers, you also have a couple shows on Blog Talk. So I'm going to hand it over to you. But I do want everybody to know, love is in the airwaves, guys, and we love you. So, Kelly, can you please tell them about your stations also?
You betcha. Right now, I'm kind of like, you know, like you said, it's holiday time. I'm taking a little bit of a break, but I've actually got three things going. I've got the Spiritual Learning Channel. Right now, Maggie and I are doing like a 4:30 on Fridays bit, and it's like we talk about a little bit of everything. It's like our archive show has some really cool things in it. I also do a little bit on I have Rev Casey, and that's strictly for people who are into Bible worship and you know, things like that, and it's like some very positive things. So it's like, yeah, I've done the Joel Osteen, the I Declare books, you know, it's like really positive statements, you know, things like that. And there's that whole month of November, I really burned myself out on that one because I did that every day faithfully. And then there is the other one called the Health Corner. And I start out with doing like, I'll just say seven health tips, seven random things that I have found that I go, wow, that's really cool. And it's like, you know, so I share my initial seven. And I'm also doing the, it's called the Hopi Survival Kit. And it's a book that was written back in 1997. By Thomas E. Males, and it's really about the Hopi prophecies, and it gets into later in the book about how, you know, their longevity, about, you know, how we can interact with our Earth, about how we really, really and truly can help our planet be here longer. So I was sitting there just astounded at Ron going, wow. And because at 17, I wanted to go be a hermit in Tibet and sit in a cave and pray and meditate until there was like world peace. And of course, that's not how my life turned out, because I have five children. So, you know, God has plans,
you know what,
too.
Kelly, well, you know, Kelly, I've got to tell you what I was doing at 17. What I want to do is I want to do all love scenes with Brad Pitt. I could name a couple other ones, William Hurt. I mean, I could think of, and you know what? I even was wanting to do a love scene with all of the rock stars. So, I mean, no, this was just for acting purposes, guys, but that was my goal. I was going to be an actress. I was going to learn to fly. I was going to do all of that. So, I'm just happy to where I ended up here. I hope that everybody enjoys both Kelly and my show, and that you enjoy anything that we can either teach you, show you, tell you, and you help us so much. I mean, our joy is to be able to pass spirit to you. I am a medium, and I've had several spirits here today. Most of them are for, you know, I've had your husband in and out, Kelly, and I know right. That you know, especially when he was talking about the tallness, your husband was here knocking on my ear going, I'm tall. Yeah. So, So, and I did have Ron, one of Ron's spirits here. I try to bring your family members to you, and if, you know, and but I if they come, that's great, and I will pass the message. To everybody, we only have 90 seconds left. This holiday season, no matter what holidays you celebrate, we love you. Love is in the airwaves. Your people in spirit love you. They are with you, especially on holidays. They come and celebrate with you. Be there. Even if you feel like you've had things to explain to them or you might not have felt that you had a great relationship, in spirit it doesn't matter. So please just be happy. Be with your families. Be with family and spirit. And we love you. We'll see you, or if we don't hear, see you next week. Susan and I will be on Tuesday, but we might not have a show on Wednesday. It'll be the following week. We'll let you know. So stay tuned. We love you. Have a great season. And Kelly, thank you. I love you too, and you know that. Have a wonderful day, and goodbye, everyone.
Adios.